The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Mishor Osra Bishvat, the 15th of Shvat, I'd like this evening to speak about this subject. The source for the 15th of Shvat is a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah tells us Arba Rosh Hashanim Hein. There are four Rosh Hashanahs for four different things. Be'echod B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. On the first day of Shvat is the new year for the trees, Kedivere Beis Shammai. This is what Beis Shammai holds. Be'Silo Emrim Be'Hamish Ha'asabai. Be'Silo says on the 15th. And this is how we conduct ourselves. According to Beis Hillel, 15th of Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. The Gemara and Achyu Dalet, the Gemara says, my timer, why is the 15th of Shvat considered the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? Amar Belezer, Amar Beishia, Il V'yotzu Reiv Gishmei Shana. Since in Eretz Yisrael, Shvat is during the rainy season. And by the time the 15th of Shvat comes along, is Yotzu Reiv Gishmei Shana, the majority of the rains have already passed. The majority of the rains from the previous year. Therefore, this is considered the end of the year, and anything after the 15th of Shvat is considered the new year when it comes to trees. Rashi explains, the majority of the days of the rains have already passed. Ola haseref bilonis, and the sap has already come into the trees. The nimtza aperis chaintin me'ato, and now the fruits start to form. The fruits and the leaves start to form their first formations. So therefore, this is the time when the Torah designated that is to be considered the new year. Even though generally Tishrei, which is several months before Shvat, is considered a new year in regards to almost everything else, but in regards to fruits of trees, anything that was formed before that time is considered part of the past year. If it's after that time, so then it's considered a new year. What, in regards to what ramifications is this halacha? So there are several differences in accordance to the halacha. We'll quote two of them. The Rambam brings in Perakei, the fifth parak of Trumas, Halacha Yud Aleph, Ein Tomim Mi Peidus Shana Zu Al Peidus Shana She'Ovra, V'Lei Mi Peidus Shana She'Ovra Al Peidus Shana Zu, V'Im Toram Ein Truma She'Nem HaShana Shana. That when a person gives Truma or Maisrus, this means that the portion of the crops that he must give, the portion of the crops which he must give to the Kohen or to the Levi. Here we'll speak in regards to Maisrus, that he's obligated to give from his crops a tenth, 10% to the Levi. When he takes this 10% of the crops which he gives must be from the crops which he is giving Maisr Trumas from. He cannot give crops from 1 year which will serve as the Maiser and the Trumas of the crops of a previous year. So the Rambam explains, Likat Yeret, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ad Shelo Bo HaShemesh, V'Chozer V'Lika Racha Shebo HaShemesh. What happens if he harvested vegetables before Rosh Hashanah, before the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, and then he harvests some vegetables after the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, now he wants to give his Meisr, he wants to give the 10% to the Levi. So he must take 10% from last year's vegetables to give to the Levi, and not 10% from the new and the old. Now if he will, if he harvests esregim, now an esreg, that's a fruit of a tree. So there be erev Tu B'Shvat. If he harvested esregim before Tu B'Shvat, and then he harvested more esregim after Tu B'Shvat, so ein tarmin mizeh al zeh, he cannot give the portion to the Levi from the new crops for the old crops. Because the Torah said, Shona b'shona, you must give your portion to the Levi from each season's crops. Mibnei she'echot b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'maisres, t'fuah v'kitnias v'yirokes. The first day of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for maisres, of grains, of lentils, and of vegetables. The Tu B'Shvat, and the 15th of Shvat, is Rosh Hashanah l'maisres ha'ilon. That's the Rosh Hashanah for the fruits of the tree. So that would be one nafkamina, one difference, one ramification in this halacha. To cite a second example, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Maaseh Sheni, Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph and Beis. Acha shemafrishin maaseh rishon b'chol shana. Now this was min haTorah, and according to the Torah we had to do this in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. These were not laws which apply to outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bizman hazeh, during present time, when we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, so then most of these laws in Eretz Yisrael are midrabonim, that the rabbis decree that we still have to do it. Achas shemafrishin maaserishin b'chol shona. After one would give a tenth of his crops to the Levi, mafrishin maaser sheni, then he would have to give another tenth. He would have to set aside another tenth, which is called maaser sheni, the second maaser. As it states, aser ta'aser is called tfuah sarecho. You should give twice. Now what does he do with that second tenth? The first tenth he would give to the Levi. What would he do with the second tenth? The second tenth was taken up, he would keep, but it had to be eaten, b'kdusha, it had to be eaten with a special sanctity. He would take it up to Yerushalayim when he would go, and it had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. U'bishono shlishis v'shishis mafishin maaser oni. But on the third year and on the sixth year, instead of this maaser sheni, he would separate a tenth of his crops, a second tenth, for the anim, which he would give to the poor. Chelev maaser sheni kemeshi barna, in place of the maaser sheni. So the first tenth, this he would give to the Levi. The second tenth, which was called maaser sheni, this he would set aside and eat with the Kedusha Yisera, with a special sanctity, when he would go up to Yerushalayim, had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. This was the first year and the second year. When do we count the years? We count them from the beginnings of the Shemitah. This is the first year of the Shemitah and the second year. Actually, this year is the first year. Last year was the seventh year. So the first year and the second year, he would take the second tenth, and it would become Maaser Sheni. He would bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Incidentally, the Rishonim bring that how could a person, when would he go up to Yerushalayim? This was when he was Eila Regel, when he would go up to the Yantavim. He'd have to bring korbanos sacrifices. But how, if a person had a large farm, how could he eat so much food? So what he would do there is, Mora brings, they would send their sons up to Yerushalayim to learn in the yeshivas. And they would bring up their grains and their fruits, and this would act as sustenance for their sons learning in the yeshivas in Yerushalayim. Now, in the third year, instead of Maaser Sheni, then he would give Maaser Oni. This means the second tenth would be to be given out to the Aniyim, to the poor. Now, Tfuah, if it was grain, or kidneys, or lentils, anything from the bean family,
And it reached the minimal portion of which the Meiser now was obligated before Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, before the Rosh Hashanah. Then, of the third year, even though it grew further and it was harvested after Rosh Hashanah, so in the third year, you had to give Maaser Sheni from it. Because since it reached the minimal portion of which Maaser is due, and it reached this portion before the Rosh Hashanah of the third year, so then it belongs to the second year. And therefore you had to give Maaser Sheni, not Maaser Oni, but the Maaser Sheni, which were the fruits that were taken up to Yerushalayim. But if they did not reach that minimal standard before the Rosh Hashanah of the third year, and didn't reach it until the third year, so then it was considered belonging to the third year, and then you didn't give Maaser Sheni, but you gave Maaser Oni. That was in regards to grains and vegetables, beans and so forth. Peiros Ilon, what happens to the fruit of the trees? If they reached their minimal portion, of which Maaser is due, before the 15th of Shvat, which is already in the third year, 1 year past the second year, and a third year, but before the 15th of Shvat in the third year, even though it matured and it was harvested after the 15th of Shvat, then Masasrin Lishovar, you would give Maaser Sheni, because it belongs to the second year, because it's not considered the third year of the tree until after 15th of Shvat. If it came to that standard, though, after the 15th of Shvat of the third year, even though it was harvested in the fourth year after Tishrei, it belongs to the third year. And therefore, Maaser Oni was given from it. So these are a few ramifications of what it means to be Shvat. The 15th of Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonos. That's the time where, from this day on, anything that forms in the tree or blossoms is to be considered to belong from the new year, and anything before that time is to be considered to belong to the past year. Now, trees play a very important role in the world at large, in the entire ecology, and trees have a great significance in the Torah. Now let us see this evening, there's a few things that we can learn from the trees. Firstly, we find that the Torah is compared to a tree. Where do we find this? We have a pasuk which states, "Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo v'sumachehu miushor." It is a tree of life for those who will hold on, for those who will support it. V'sumachehu miushor. For those who will hold it, it is a tree of life, and those who support it will be fortunate. So you see, the Torah is called an Eitz Chaim, a tree of life. In Parshas Truma, when the Torah is instructing us to build the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and its kelim, and all of its vessels, the first object we were commanded to make is the Oren HaKodesh. The Oren was to hold the Torah. The Torah tells us, near the beginning of Parshas Truma, Shmeis Chofei Posuk Yud, V'osu Arein Atzei Shitim. V'osu Arein Atzei Shitim, you shall make an Oren out of wood. This wood was a type of cedar wood. It was called Atzei Shitim. Then it gives us the dimensions. Then it states, V'tzipisa Eisei Zov Tohor. You shall cover it entirely with pure gold. Mi Bais, from the inside, U'mi Chutz, and from the outside to tzapenu it should be overlaid with gold. The Gemara explains that it was overlaid with gold in its entirety. Fact is, three arens were made. First a gold one, smaller one, then a larger wooden one, and then a larger gold one. The small gold one was put into the wooden one, and then both were put into the third one, and then they were all overlaid on the top. So it was entirely overlaid with gold, yet it was made, the inside was made of wood. The Baral in his Gurai brings a kasha from the Ibn Ezra that if it was entirely made, if it was entirely covered with gold, why was it necessary for it to be made with wood? The wood could be seen, and it would be more covered, more honor, if it would be made of a pure gold. So what was the necessity for it to be made of wood? So this he brings from the Midrash Rabbah Teretz, an answer. The Midrash says because the Oren was to hold the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah was compared to a tree. Eitz Chaim Hilamachazikim Bo. It is a tree of life for those who hold it. And therefore, the symbol of Torah was a tree. Therefore, the Oren which was to hold the Sefer Torah was to be made of wood. Why is the Sefer Torah compared to a tree? Because a tree is an Eitz Chaim. A tree has life. It grows. It's alive. It grows because it's attached to a source. And from its source, it takes its life. Not only does it have life, but if we'll give a little thought to it, a tree might have the longest life of all living things in the world, possibly, because of the entire world of plants and foliage. There is nothing that lives as long as a tree. And it's very, very common for trees to live much longer than animals and even longer than men. So it's very likely that of everything which grows in this world, a tree is an Eitz Chaim, has a longer life than anything else. This is in regard to length of days, in regards to quality of life from the aspect of strength. A tree is the strongest. A tree is the strongest form of life of all vegetation. You have your grass, you have your different types of weeds, and you have your flowers, you have your shrubs. Strongest life of all type of vegetation is the tree. Not only is it a strong life for itself, it gives life to the entire ecology, to the entire forest. Without trees, there would be total erosion. Right? The winds and the waters would sweep away the soil. And a tree can weather more difficulties and storms and elements than all types of other vegetations. So the tree is the symbol of Chaim, both in length of days and in strength of days. And the reason for this is that it's attached to a source, has deep, deep roots, and from this source, it draws its energy and it draws its life. By Torah it states, Ore Chaim B'Yemino. The Torah, from her right side, she gives Ore Chaim, length of days. Therefore, the Oren was chosen to be made from an Eitz, a wood, which also represents length of days. Why does Torah give length of days? For the same reason. Because Torah is attached to its source. It's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives secular wisdom to people, he gives it away. The bracha we make on a Chochem Hachmei Umais, and a secular wise person, we say Baruch, blessed is Hashem, Shenosan Mechoch Mosei Lebose Vedom, who gave away his wisdom to a secular person, to a flesh and blood. But when the Almighty gives Torah to people, he doesn't give it away. It states the bracha we make, Baruch Shecholak Mechoch Mosei, not Shenosan Mechoch Mosei, but Cholak Mechoch Mosei Lebose Vedom. Nosan means something you take and you give it away. Cholak Mechoch Mosei is something you divide. Cholak is the word chelik, divide. Divide means we will share it. Wisdom, secular wisdom, he gives. Torah, he shares. Because it's never detached from the Almighty. Baruch Shecholak Mechoch Mosei Lireov, to those who fear him. If he's going to share it, he's not going to share it with everyone. He'll only share it Lireov, to those who fear him. Sharing, that means it's still at its source. We're using it together. And therefore it's a Torah's Chaim. And therefore it gives Chaim to those who study it and uphold it. So therefore, Erech Yomi B'Yamino. In its right hand, it gives life. Therefore, it's Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Bo. It is a tree of life to those who uphold it. This is why the Oren had to be made of wood. The Medrash tells us. So we should ask then the question from the other aspect. So why was it covered with gold? And if it was to be made of wood, why was the wood concealed? It states also, Ore Chaim B'Yamina U'Bismola Eishev Ekovet. The Torah gives with her right hand length of days, and with her left hand wealth and honor. Now length of days, that's something that we do not see in this world. The Gemara says, Yem Shikula Orech, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you Arichas Yomim, length of days. When is that? Not in this world, because this world doesn't have length of days. It's referring to an Olam Shikula Orech. It's referring to a world where the days are never ending. The Olam Haba, the world to come. Torah gives to a person life in the world to come. That's length of days. In addition, now, Torah gives to a person Eishev Ekovet, gives him physical brachas. Physical brachas and honor. Now, physical brachas and honor, that's something we see in this world. Honor is what we see. Length of days, that's in the next world. What's for the next world is concealed in this world. What's for this world is revealed. Therefore, the tree which represented the length of days, which means in the next world, that's concealed in this world. Therefore, the Oren had to be made of wood, but it had to be concealed. The outside of the Oren was Eishev Ekovet, Bismolah Eishev Ekovet. Wealth, physical bracha, and honor. That's what we see in this world. Therefore, the outside of the Oren was gold. Gold has hashivas, it has importance, it has a prestige, it has an honor. But gold is not alive. It's not a growth, it's not growing. It's merely a deposit. That was on the outside. So here we see that the Torah itself was compared to a living tree. We have another source in which we see that man himself is compared to a tree. In Parshas Shoftim, at the end of Parshas Shoftim, which is Devarim, Devarim Chof, Pasuk Yutes. Torah tells us, Ki sot sur al ir, when you come to lay siege to a city, Yomim Rabim, for many days, Lihilochem Aleha, to war against her, Lesofso, and to capture her. Vesashki sets Eitzo, do not destroy the woods around the city. Do not destroy the trees around the city. Bindeach Ol of Garzen, to cut them down with an axe. Ki mimenu seichel, because you eat from a tree. It's referring to fruit trees. Ve'aisei le'sichreis, and therefore you shall not cut them. Ki odem etz asode lovei miponecho bamotzor. Now the pasuk says, Ki odem etz asode, because man is a tree of the field, to come upon, to go before you with siege. What does this mean? So Rashi in the Targum says, this is a question. Because is man a tree of the field that you're going to lay siege against the trees? In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, what do you have against the trees if you're going to war against the city? And that city are full of enemies and you want to destroy them, so why are you destroying the trees? Is man a tree that you're going to destroy the trees? Then it tells us, Rak Eitz HaShetein, that Kilei Eitz Machol Hu, Eisis HaShchis V'Choroto. If you have to, you need timber, you can get your timber from trees which do not give fruit. So that's the meaning of the pasuk. However, the Gemara in Masechta Tainus, the Gemara in Masechta Tainus and of Zayin, the Gemara says, Ki Odom Eitz HaSode, it states that man is a tree of the field. V'chi Odom Eitz HaSode, is a man of a tree of a field? Elo, im Talmud Chochem Hogun Hu, if he's a Talmud Chochem, if he's a wise man in Torah, he's a good Talmud Chochem, he's very wise and he's a good person, Mimena Teichel, then he's like a tree which gives fruit, and you should eat from it. But Eisel Eisichreis, and you should be careful not to harm him. But if he's not a good Talmud Chochem, he's not a good person, then don't eat his fruit. So we see from the Gemara in Masechta Tainus that even though the Torah is referring here, that is man a tree that you're going to make war against trees? Why are you destroying all the trees? But the Torah is also teaching us, Ki Odom Eitz HaSode, man is like a tree of the field. And like the Gemara says in Tainus, a tree gives fruit. If he gives forth fruit, then the Torah said you're not allowed to cut it down. You must be careful with it. So with man. Man must give forth fruit. If he gives forth fruit, his existence is justified here. If he doesn't, then his existence is not justified. So we see that Torah, it's that man himself is referred to as a tree. Now why? The Maral in his explains, this he explains in the Mishnah of his Per Gimel, next to the last Mishnah, Mishnah Yud Zayin. Very interesting reason. Why is man like a tree? A tree, most people will tell you, has roots, one set of roots. Roots that go into the ground. This is not true. A tree has two sets of roots. Roots that go into the ground, and it has branches that go upwards. Why does a tree always spread its branches upward? Because the tree eats from the sun, takes its energy from the sun. That's why, if you notice, a tree will always grow towards the sun. If you plant a tree in a shade, the tree will turn and twist and head for the sun. Trees in caves will head out of the cave to get into the sunlight. A tree has two sets of roots. One set on the bottom that goes down deep into the ground to take the nourishment from the ground, and another set of roots that spread upwards to take the nourishment from the sun. So is it with man. Ki odam eitz hasodeh. Man has two sets of roots. Usually we think that a man has one set of roots from the ground. He lives here, al oretz. He has two sets. He belongs to the ground, but he also must take nourishment from the heavens. Why is this? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him, it states he created him ofer min ha'adamah. He created him dust from the earth. And vayipach ba'afav nishmas chayim. And he blew into his nostrils a living soul from himself. This means that man is created from the earth and is also created from a spirit from above. Therefore, man must get his nourishment from the earth. This is one set of roots. If he would leave the ground, he would lose his attachment, he would lose his nourishment from the earth. And man must also take his nourishment from what's above him. In this way, ki odam eitz hasod, this is what the Torah is teaching us. Man is exactly like a tree. What would happen if you would put a tree in a situation where he could get water and nourishment from the soil, but the leaves, the branches, could get no sunlight? The tree would wither and die. Must have sun. So is it with man. Man must have physical nourishment, and he must have spiritual nourishment. Otherwise he'll wither and die. So here we learn two things. Firstly, that man is like a tree, that he must give fruit. Torah said, a tree that gives fruit, then you must not harm it. Its existence is justified in importance. Secondly, we learn that man is like a tree, that just like the tree must have an earthly attachment and a heavenly attachment to survive. Man also must have this. From here we learn the importance of spiritual nourishment. Many people think that you can be healthy with physical nourishment alone, but if you have spiritual nourishment, it's good also. It's not true. Just like a tree physically will die if it cannot get nourishment from the sun, so will man also. It will harm him physically, right, if he does not have the proper spiritual nourishment. Now, a third point of what we learn from a tree. The Chazal, the sages, learn another point. And this Mishnah that we cited, the next to the last Mishnah in Perek Gimel of Ovis, Hu Hayo Omer, Reb Elazar ben Azariah said, he would say, Kol Shech Moch Choch Mosai, Merubah Mimaisov, whoever whose wisdom is greater than his physical actions. Now, Chochmosoi, this is the theoretical wisdom. This refers to a person's knowledge in Torah, which is theoretical. Masov is physical acts. This refers to his deeds, his physical deeds. His physical deeds in Ma'asim Tovim, good acts, in Ma'asim mitzvahs are done physically, or Derech Eretz, this is Ma'asov. If his wisdom is of greater portion than his deeds, L'mahu Deimer, what is he similar to? L'ilon sha'anofel merubim, to a tree which has great branches, v'sharosh mu'atim, and just minimal roots. V'haruach bo, and a wind will come, v'ekrosei v'hefchosei, and will tear out the tree and turn over the tree alponav. You would think that many times we look at a tree and we see it's a gigantic tree with great branches. The strength of the tree doesn't lie, though, in the branches. If it has just a minimal amount of roots, not only are the branches, not only is there no strength coming from the volume of branches, but the volume of branches becomes a liability to it. Because it becomes totally top-heavy, it has no roots, and the tree, a wind will come, the ekrose, and rip it out, the hafchose, and turn it over on its face. And the Mishnah brings a posuk. So is it with a man who has a tremendous amount of theoretical Torah, but his deeds are very lacking. A wind will come, a storm will come. Not only he won't weather the storm, but this knowledge, his Torah will serve it against him. You hear this, that the Torah will be against him. It'll be a liability to him. And it will rip him out and turn him over upside down. Then the Mishnah says, Avokol shemasav merubi mechochmose. But what happens if someone's deeds are greater than his wisdom, than his theoretical wisdom? Lemahudema, what is he like? Le ilon shanof of muotim, like a tree who does not have so many branches, v'shorosh of merubin, but he has a great many roots. What is the destiny of this tree? Afilo kol aruchi shebeilum, all the winds in the world, baos v'neshovesh bay, will come and try to blow it over, ein mezizi neisei mimkeime, will not move it from its place. If we see a tree with a great many branches, that's a sign of strength and health, only if its volume of roots are far greater. Then, if the roots are greater than the branches, then all of the winds in the world cannot touch it. And so is it with man. If man's deeds and his acts are greater than his wisdom, then his theoretical wisdom, then nothing will tip him over. Shenemar v'hayo ke'etz shosu al mayim. Like a tree that is planted by the water, and it stretches its roots deep into the ground to reach the water, then it will never wither, it will always last, it will last through all of the storms and all of the droughts, and it will be forever. And it will layomush maaseis peri, and it will never cease from giving forth its fruit. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Now what is the explanation to this? So here again the Maharal tells us something very deep. Firstly, we must realize that this is very important. No matter how good something is, it is only good if a person is fit for it. For example, at the physical level, you can take the best foods, but if a person eats too much of it, or if he's not ready for such a food, it'll be harmful. Take a young child, and you give him something which is a wonderful food, but he's not ready for it, it will be harmful. The same thing with Torah. There can be nothing better than Torah. But it must be a Torah, he writes, which is roi l'odim. A Torah which the person is ready for. In everything. A person, whatever he does, he has to be ready for it. This is in regards to deeds and in Torah. If he does something which is beyond him, if his wisdom becomes something which is beyond him, too much for him, it becomes something which is eineroilo. Not only is it useless, but it's very dangerous. And this is even on Torah. The source of this are Gemaras. One source will cite the Gemara. It's in Masechta Kedushin and Masechta Yuma in Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us that Torah is a sum. Torah is like a medicine. Zohar, HaTorah Elov Sam Chaim. If it's used properly, it will be a medicine of life for a person. Lei Zohar, HaTorah Elov Sam Hamovis. Not used properly. If it's used improperly, it will be an article of death for a person. Zohar, if it's used properly, then it will be an article of life for a person. Lei zohar, nasa samobis. It will be an article of death for a person. Now this is a very radical Gemara, because the Gemara is saying that Torah can become a samobis. Torah can become an article of death for a person. Here we see that no matter how good something is, the shoe must always fit. It must be used properly, in its right proportion, and timelessly, in its right time. Not like that, then it will stand up against a person. So here the Tano is telling us we shouldn't think that even in Torah we can do anything we want. It can become a very great liability. A person must grow proportionately. And always, his physical action, his physical deeds, always must be a little ahead of his wisdom of Torah. Now why is this? So here also the Tana is telling us something very important. We said that a man has two sources, like a tree. Roots in the ground, spreads its branches upwards. What is the foundation of the tree? The foundation of the tree are the roots in the ground. Where do we see this from? This we see from everyday life. If it has deep, healthy roots in the ground, then all of the winds won't be able to blow it over. If it has weak roots in the ground, even though it has wonderful branches, and it's taking in all of that sunshine and all of that nourishment, a wind will come and the ekrose, it will uproot it and turn over the tree. So we see that even though it has two roots, two attachments, but the foundation is the attachment to the ground. Now we can ask the same question with man. Man has two attachments. He has an attachment in the ground and he has attachment above. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him from the ground and from above. Where is his first attachment? Where is his foundation? We might think spiritual. Here the Mishnah tells us not like that. Even though the Almighty created man, dust from the earth, Vayipach Ba'apun Nishmas Chayim, and he gave him a living soul from himself, where is man's main attachment? Man's main attachment is to the earth, not to the heavens. He must have both, but his more fundamental attachment is to the earth and not to the heavens. This is the reason why it states that he was called Odom. He was called Odom because he was made from the Adoma, from the earth. Why wasn't he called Shomayim? Because he received the Spirit from the Almighty? Because his fundamental essence is from the earth. This means as follows, that man was made physical. But to physical man, a soul was given. Not the opposite, that man was made spiritual. And to spiritual man, a body was given, Now, man was made physical, and to physical man a spirit was given. And that's what the Gemara always means, Leikim Alachi Ashoris. We are not angels, we are men. Man means Mid Adoma, from the earth. A spirit was given to man. Man must have an attachment in the earth, it must have an attachment to the heavens. But his first attachment is to the earth. We see this in everyday life. For example, a child is born. When the fetus is formed, the mind is not formed first. The body is formed first. When a child is born, what can you do? It's not the powers which are more theoretical, more spiritual, which are more bilti gashmi, which are more separated from the physical. Do they come first or do they come later? This power of sight comes a little later. Even this hearing, this power of hearing develops a little later. It improves as the time goes on. Eat he can do immediately. Slowly does he develop. His mental powers come later. His ability to make decisions, his ability to choose between right and wrong, the Gemara tells us that only comes when he's bar mitzvah. That's why he cannot be held responsible for his decisions before then. Why? Because he is created as an Odom, as an earthly being. To that earthly being is given a spirit. But first the earthly being must develop, because this is the foundation to carry the spirit. And this is the development of man. Therefore, when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a man must always be in front, ahead, with what he does physically, than the theoretical Torah, the theoretical wisdom. His deeds, his physical deeds, must be more advanced than the spiritual wisdom. Because then he has created a stronger foundation to carry the wisdom. And then the wisdom will be carried. But if it's the opposite, then his physical deeds are very weak. His physical acts are very weak. And he's very heavy on the wisdom. He has something which is ein ro'ilo. It's not proportionate to him. And it will crush him. It will become a sama movis, an article of death. Similar to a tree which has very few roots and many branches going upwards. For this we understand what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us a braisa, derech eretz was kodma l'teira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave derech eretz before he gave Torah, and it brings many, many generations. Commanded the world in Derech Eretz long before he commanded the world in Torah. Why? Because Derech Eretz, this is what is required from a man, mitzad shehu odom, because he's a man. Because he lives in a physical world and he's a physical man, this is what is required from him. After that, after he has created such a foundation, then he can come to Torah. To come to Torah without this, he's far away from it. And he's not really a Torah. This the Rambam brings. Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Rambam says, Perek Dalet, Ein melamdin Torah, ele l'talmud hogum noa b'maisuf. This is important. It's very important for our days. It's important all the time, but for our days also. Many people think that you can grab a hold of anyone and teach him Torah. The Rambam says not like that. You are not allowed to teach Torah except to a disciple who is Noah ben Isar, who has beautiful qualities. He could be ignorant. Rabbi Kiva. Morris says that Rabbi Kiva was 40 years old. He was an Amoritz, Leishonah v'Leikorah. He was an ignorant person. He didn't know Mishnah. He didn't know how to read Mikra. He didn't know how to read. He didn't know Chumash. He didn't know Mishnah. But Tosfos brings, he was of outstanding character qualities. Outstanding character qualities. But he was a Korah v'Leishonah. He was an ignorant Amos in Torah. That person is a mitzvah to teach Torah to. But what happens if you have a person who is not Noah ben Isar? He's a person who not only is ignorant in Torah, but he doesn't have good qualities. He's not a mensch. He's not b'derech eretz. He doesn't know how to conduct himself properly. So that the Rambam says in Malamdin Tere, Ela Talmud Hogum Noah ben Isar. Not allowed to teach Torah to a student unless he has no Ebe Meisa, beautiful qualities, beautiful acts, all the time. Or to a person who is very simple, but straight. Tom is a person who's simple and straight, but he's nice. But what happens if he's not a good person? Say he's a criminal, he's a gangster, he's a juvenile delinquent. That's what the Rambam says. He heilich b'derech leiteva. Not only doesn't know Torah, he's a delinquent, he's a hoodlum, he's a gangster. He's totally wild. He says, no, you're not allowed to teach him Torah. So what should you do? Machzirin eiseilem mutav. First you must teach him how to be a mensch. Don't teach him Torah. You first teach him derech eretz. You teach him how to be straight. You lead him, teach him how to be straight. And you keep an eye on him, and you watch him. But you don't bring him into the Beis HaMedrash. Afterwards, then you bring him into the Beis HaMedrash, and you teach him. In other words, if you grab a hold of a gangster, a delinquent, you don't bring him into the Beis HaMedrash to teach him Torah. It says, heavy meat, you should be mitalmidei shel Aaron HaKain, you should be from the disciples of Aaron HaKain. Eves abrias, umekarven the Torah, that you should bring everyone close to Torah, yes. But this is how you must bring him close to Torah. First you must teach him how to be a person. Because Torah was given to a person. You must teach him how to be a person. If he's a person, no Eber Maisov, who has qualities, pleasing qualities, then you teach him Torah. If not, then first you have to instill in him pleasing qualities. Afterwards you bring him into the Beis HaMedrash. Omru Chachomim kol ha'sheinu le'talmid she'eino hogen. The Chachomim say, whoever teaches Torah to a disciple who is not a good person, kilu zorek even le Markulis. That's the same as throwing a stone to Markulis. This was an idolatry. Goyim used to have a certain type of idolatry that they would throw stones at. That was the way they worshipped. This is an idolatry. And it says, Nesin leksil kovet. Shlomo HaMelech said, if you give kovet to a fool, that's the same as serving idolatry. What does it mean, kovet? Ein kovet ela Torah. Nesin kovet leksil kovet. If you teach Torah to a fool, that's giving honor, because Torah is honor. Giving honor to a fool is the same as taking a Kodesh Baruch Hu's honor and throwing it to idolatry. So this is what the Rambam brings here. This is the same principle. Incidentally, the Maral explains with this. We find there's another Mishnah Novus. But the Mishnah tells us, Asora Deiris mi Adam Arishon ad Neach. There were 10 generations from the first man until Neach. And all of them incited the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were another 10 generations between Neach and Avraham Avinu. And all of them incited the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until finally Avraham Avinu came and he took the reward of all of them. This is what the Mishnah tells us in Perek Hamishi. Mishnah Beis and Gimel. And the previous generations were all destroyed. Now he asks why. Why was it like this? What did Avraham do that the others didn't do? Why was it that Avraham reached such heights that even great men like Adam Arishon, the first man, and Noah were unable to reach? What quality gave Avraham this potential, this ability to reach heights that the others could not? We're talking about great men. We're not talking about simple people. Adam Arishon was a great, great man. The Gemara tells us that the light which encompassed Adam Arishon, the heel is the darkest part of the body. His two heels were as bright as two suns. This is the greatness of Adam Arishon. And Noah was great enough to save an entire world. But what ability did Avraham have where he achieved what the others could? He tells us something very achidush, very unique. This is the great mila, the great level that came to Adam Arishon. Where did it come from? It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Arishon was created a full-grown adult, physically and spiritually. He was not born, he did not grow up as an infant, as a child. He wasn't bar mitzvah, but he was a full-grown adult, physically and spiritually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to him the spiritual level. Noach also, the first 10 generations, Noach was the 10th generation, the first 10 generations were so close to the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world that they usurped a tremendous spiritual level right from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And eventually it crushed them because they didn't have the foundation to carry it. Avraham was different. Avraham had to build every inch of the way. He was born in a place, Ur Kasdim, Bavel, this was Iraq, which he had no contact or communication with any of the previous giants. No one told him about a creation. No one told him about a flood. Not only that, but everyone taught him idolatry. The whole Medina, the whole province served idolatry, and even his father. And he served with them. And everything that he acquired, he did on his own. Every inch of the way he fought on his own and he built. It would be like today a man that starts at the bottom of the company and works up to become the chairman of the board, or a person that starts being the chairman of the board and first he developed every fundamental midah, every primary quality, step after step, until he came to endless heights. He says, Adam and Noach, they were chokhmasei merubah mimasof. Their wisdom far superseded their physical acts. And therefore, when a wind came, they were like a tree with great branches and weak roots. Ekrosei umahakhei alponim. The wind turned them over, ripped them out and turned them over. Avraham was Masur Meruva Mechokmosve. All of his physical perfections went in front of his Torah wisdom. The more he perfected himself physically through his deeds, then the more Torah wisdom he would learn. But he was always Masav Merubim Echochmosri. Therefore he was like a tree that had deep, deep roots, that all of the winds in the world would come, Ein Mezizna Yisayim came, which happened. All of the storms in the world went up against Avraham Avinu. Machzor and Nishenis. Kodesh Baruch Hu tested him and tried him 10 times, and all of the storms of the world went up against him. Ein Mezizna Yisayim came. Could not move him. So this is another quality that we learn from a tree. So we mentioned firstly that the Torah is called an Eitz Chaim, it is a tree of life. Because a tree is something that lives, it has long life, it has strong life, because it is attached to its source. So is Torah. And that's why the Oren was made out of Eitz. Then we mentioned that man is similar to a tree, to Eitz HaSod. Gemara comes and says that just like a tree that gives forth fruit, we are commanded you shall not destroy it. Man also must give forth fruit. And then we said a tree has two attachments, to the ground and to the heavens, and he needs both, otherwise he'll die. So does man have two attachments. He must have to the ground and to the heavens, otherwise he'll die. Not like some people think that spiritual is good, but it's not necessary. No, he'll die, he'll wither away. You can't imagine how many diseases, physical diseases or psychological diseases come just from a lack of spirituality. Then we come to, if he has two attachments, what is the primary and what is secondary? What comes first and what comes second? What is the foundation? And what is built on the foundation? So we also learn from a tree. The roots must come first, and then must come the branches. And the roots must always be broader than the branches. That even though man is given a body and a soul, he is still called Adoma. He's a Dori Tachton, he lives on this world. In other words, he was made into an earthly being and he was given a soul. Therefore, first he must perfect his earthly qualities, perfect them, in order to be able to carry the soul. Then he'll grow to endless heights. This was Avraham Avinu. If, though, his spiritual qualities will be ahead of his perfection of his earthly qualities, then he'll be like a tree that's top-heavy with great branches and weak roots, and a wind will come and destroy him. So these are some of the qualities that we can learn from a tree on today, which was Tu Bishvat, the Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonis.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.